This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. All praise is due to Allah alone, the exalted. We praise Him. We seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils within ourselves and the evils of our sins. Whomsoever Allah guides because they are sincere, none can misguide. And whomever He rightfully causes to be led astray because they are not sincere, none can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, peace be upon him, is his servant and final messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us for our own benefit in the noble Quran what is translated as, O believers, O you who believe, be conscious of Allah as He deserves, as is His right upon you. And do not die except in the state of submission, in a state of worship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us consistently living upon taqwa, God consciousness and worship, and allow us to die upon it as well. Allahumma ameen. I want to begin and end the khutbah today with a question for you to reflect on, a very obvious question with a very obvious answer. If someone were to offer you $1 today, or a second option, $1 trillion tomorrow, which would you take? Now, no doubt, I don't think any of us or anyone we know would take the dollar today compared to the trillion tomorrow. And on this note, I want us to reflect on a story that was shared by a brother actually in this community. He mentioned that there was a brother in the US in his 40s. He was going through the most difficult time in his life for several years. He was extremely depressed, far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was struggling financially in so many ways, struggling in his health. He was almost evicted, and he did not know what was next. He did not know what his future held. And so this contributed even more to his sadness, to his depression. And he said he, at this time of his life, it was 3 to 4 years, he made the wrong choices. He made the wrong choices with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made the wrong choices in terms of how to respond, how to react, how to stay strong, and so on and so forth. He said, I made the wrong choices, and I know it, and I regret it. One day, almost abruptly, and long story short, he inherited almost $7 million from a relative who had passed away, and all of the next of kin had also passed away. And he did not have a strong connection with this relative, but long story short, he inherited $7 million. And he was extremely elated and happy, and he began to cry, and he was grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he began to cry with regret, with remorse. He said, if someone had told me during these years, these very difficult years of my life, when I made these wrong choices, if someone told me that $7 million was around the corner, I would have been happy the entire time. I would have stayed strong when things got difficult, remembering what? There's going to be $7 million tomorrow. I'll be fine tomorrow. I just got to get through this. Constant planning because it matters to us. Because there's a value on it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَزَاهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا جَنَّةً وَحَرِيرًا. Their reward, the people of Jannah, as he describes them subhanahu wa ta'ala, their reward for their patience. Because of their sabr, because of their perseverance, because of your strength, because of your willpower, your reward will be Jannah, gardens in paradise, waharira, garments of silk, things that for men in this world are prohibited, and also things of expense, things that are considered valuable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in this very short verse one of the main keys of really succeeding. And this is the true criteria of success. to have sabr in the right way and to apply your sabr, your perseverance towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we read the Qur'an from beginning to end, and every time you recite Qur'an or you listen to a recitation or you're praying and you reflect or you come across an ayah that mentions sabr, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give glad tidings to those who are patient, those who persevere. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ, Allah is with those who are patient. Allah loves those who persevere. When we read these verses, we should reflect beyond just the recitation. وَاصْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ إِنِّي جَزَيْتُهُمُ الْيَوْمَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا أَنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ, I have rewarded them on this day because of their patience. They are truly the winners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal these verses so we can simply recite, but rather to act upon, to be changed internally. These verses specifically about hardship were given to us with the test that comes with hardship of a dunya so that we are prepared, so that we are able to overcome our own difficulties, our own struggles, so that we're ready for any situation, whether it's a global pandemic or a local problem or a war. May Allah protect us all and relieve our brothers and sisters around the world. We have the psychological tools to overcome anything in a dunya. But do we take advantage of that? Are we closely connected to that? Be patient for a little longer and you'll have eternal relaxation. In other words, hold on a little longer, it will be worth it. Not for $7 million, not for $1 trillion tomorrow, for eternity. There's no price tag on that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then describes the rewards for the people of Jannah in details in Surah Al-Insan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مُتَّكِئِينَ فِيهَا عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ لَا يَرَوْنَ فِيهَا شَمْسًا وَلَا زَمْهَرِيرًا. They will be reclining back on their thrones, their couches, their sofas in Jannah. And the only similarity between the word or the Jannah's couch or mansion or palace, whatever it may be you hear about Jannah, the only similarity between that couch or that throne and what you have here in this world is simply the word. Meaning the quality and the description is beyond our imagination. The people of Jannah will be relaxing. And this is the first description after what? وَجَزَاهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. Their reward for their patience, they will be relaxing. How long will they be relaxing? Forever. They will be relaxing forever. Is it not worth it to work hard in this world, to push yourself? Is it not worth it to restrain and refrain from doing the wrong thing, from falling into sin, from falling into temptation, from following any random ideology or doubt? Is it not worth it that you will have the pleasure of Allah eternally speaking? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes more of the rewards of Jannah, the shades of Jannah, the perfect temperature of paradise, the fruits of Jannah that are very close to them. Why? Because they were very close in this world to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to His pleasure. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later on says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ ثَمَّ رَأَيْتَ نَعِيمًا وَمُلْكًا كَبِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you were to look around, if the people of Jannah basically are looking around, what do they see? They see bounties, they see happiness, they see rewards. وَمُلْكًا كَبِيرًا, a mighty kingdom, a vast kingdom, the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's prepared specifically for those who follow His commands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us consistent. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who enjoy that kingdom that is lasting. Rather than focusing on what the drop of a dunya, the crumb of this world, the penny that you have in front of you, is it going to blind you from seeing something that is priceless, something that is lasting forever? And what Allah has prepared for you is specific for you. Beyond the general descriptions of the rewards of Jannah, so the descriptions we hear about throughout the Quran, beyond the general descriptions of the rewards of Jannah, we find specific mentions and specific references in ayat and ahadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared something for you that you cannot even conceive of, you cannot even think about. And we recite every Jum'ah, and you should recite, the sunnah is to recite during the Fajr prayer, the morning prayer on Friday, Surah Al-Sajda in the first rak'ah and Surah Al-Insan in the second rak'ah. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Surah Al-Sajda, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. No soul knows what has been prepared for them, for you. Meaning the thing that will make you happy eternally. Allah has prepared for you something you cannot even imagine as a reward for what you used to do. It's not a reward for what you used to claim. It's a reward for what you used to do. Because your actions will be judged. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us consistent and righteous. Allahumma ameen. In Surah Al-Insan, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us about this mulk, this kingdom that you're working for, it's a reminder for us, because oftentimes when we're distracted with local desires, local temptations, local livelihood, your job, your family, relationships, food, sleep, whatever it may be, leisure, entertainment, video games, sports, whatever you are distracted by, remember this is like that penny that you're staring at, like that drop of water. And beyond it, something much greater. Is it reasonable or is it foolish to be distracted by this penny and ignore the trillions of dollars? And of course, you cannot really put a number on it. We know that it's foolish to be distracted. And yet, we are in need of these reminders because we are human beings, because these things surround us. And we are tested with these things around us as a way to reflect our faith, to see how determined we are. When you find yourself distracted, remember, the rewards of Jannah and the kingdom of Jannah is nothing compared to what you have right now. In fact, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir," this world is a prison for the believer. This hadith is so misunderstood by so many Muslims. It doesn't mean it's a prison. You're supposed to be gloomy and sad and walk around, "I'm in a prison." No. It's a prison for the believers, because what Allah has prepared for you in Jannah is so great and beyond your imagination, that no matter how much you have right now in a dunya, it's nothing compared to Jannah. No matter how rich you are, how comfortable you are, how many desires you can fulfill, whatever Allah blessed you with in this world, it's nothing compared to what Allah has prepared in Jannah for the righteous servants. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings and make us from amongst those who are constantly working towards His pleasure. In this surah and the surah before it, Surah Al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people who are chasing the here and now. كَلَّا بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةِ. Nay, indeed, the disbelievers, you love that which is here and now, that which is immediate. وَتَذَرُونَ الْآخِرَةِ. You forget the next life. You abandon it. You threw it behind you. And this is a very important reminder. Why? Because we all are experiencing, especially in the 21st century, especially for all of us in the United States of America, we are experiencing different types of blessings and rewards that many previous generations did not have in terms of instant gratification. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the people who are chasing the desire that's right in front of them. That snack that they want, that thing that they desire right now, they chase it right away. They can't wait. They can't hold themselves back. There's no strength mentally or emotionally or psychologically to wait a little longer for something much better. And we know that this applies not just to our faith and to Jannah and to the afterlife. This applies to success in general in this world. That people who generally restrain themselves, they hold back their desire from instant gratification, they are much more likely to be successful. Why? Because it applies to everything in life. When you hold on now, when you study for that exam consistently, you are much more likely to succeed. When you work hard every single day, working out your body, eating what's healthy, you might be making initially what seems to be the difficult choice in terms of the effort. But long term, what do you have? Something that pays off. Long term, you are happier and healthier. This is one example. When we think of instant gratification, we are living in the 21st century in which for many people, but not all, instant gratification is always accessible. Instant gratification meaning instant desires, the fulfillment of what you desire right now. Companies that are offering all of us what? Same day deliveries. You're no longer waiting a few days. Companies online as well, with the advent of technology and the fast internet speeds that we have, and data and so on and so forth. Whatever you want to stream, you can stream at any moment. And when you're streaming, you're binge-watching countless things back to back. These are tests for us. These are not just things you have access to. They are a trial for many people. What happens to the person who is so used to getting whatever they want instantly when things are not given to them immediately? When they have to work hard now for something? When you have to work out every day? When you have to memorize a little Quran every day? When you have to read a juz every day? What happens long-term if you're so used to getting whatever you want with very little work and effort? Our ability to be patient disappears. Our ability to hold on erodes. And we see examples like this all the time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. And for those who are still not relating to this, this is like the person who's trying to eat healthy. And they're looking at that, let's say, high calorie dessert. And they cannot restrain themselves. So they give in to their nafs, to their desires. And then of course they regret it. And the next day they say, "I'll try again." They should try again. But try again and remember why you're doing what you're doing. Try again and remember that the pleasure that you think you're going to get is nothing compared to the long-term pleasure that you will have. And this could apply to your studies, your job, that you're not socializing instead of, for example, studying or doing your project or working on an essay or taking care of your family and spending quality time and so on and so forth. This can apply to anyone who's waking up and they're exhausted and they're choosing between the desire of staying in bed versus what? Getting up, praying fajr, finding comfort of the heart, finding relief in one's affairs, finding reward with Allah, finding the path of success. And so we have many examples we can all relate to from morning to night in terms of the choices that we make. And all of us know that our lives essentially are a story of choices, decisions. And ultimately the next life is all about compensation and reward and punishment based on the choices that we make here and now. There's the famous marshmallow experiment, and it has many critiques, no doubt. But the young children who basically were told to wait a little longer and have twice the amount of desserts, some of them waited and they were more successful later on in their lives, in high school and college and later on in their professional careers and their relationships. They tended to be happier mentally speaking. They tended to be more successful in terms of achieving specific goals that they wanted. And this is not surprising to anyone who just observes and reflects for a moment on what it means for you to say to yourself, no, I don't do that. No, I can hold on. No, I have patience. No, I have willpower. I'm stronger than that. I'm not going to be enslaved to my desires right now and regret this habit long term. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us resilience. Some studies found that generally speaking, as people experience different things in life and as they grow older, they tend to sometimes be more aware of the importance of delayed gratification. Whereas sometimes young people, based on, number one, their parents, based on their families and how they were raised, if they were raised with no delayed gratification, they were much more likely to be impulsive, to give in to their desires, to chase whatever they wanted. And if their parents raised them, teaching them in advance, teaching them about patience and self-discipline and willpower and why it's so important and how it builds real strength and discipline and long-term success, those youngsters tended, as they became youth and adults later on, they tended to be much more successful. They tended to also report much higher levels of happiness, mentally speaking. As well, we look at the example of, or the factor of imagination, your perspective on your future. For example, when you think to yourself the pleasure of staying in bed rather than praying tahajjud or fajr on time, when you think of that pleasure of sleeping in and skipping your obligation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should be imagining to overcome this as you repent and as you try time and again and you don't give up. You should be thinking about the vision that you have for yourself. That if you were to perfect this habit, if you were to delay your desires, you were to delay your gratification, that you will find a greater gratification, a greater desire. But it may take time for you to develop that. So if you are not envisioning that future where you are healthier, where you are more successful, where you're reading more Quran, where you're taking care of your family, whatever goal you have, if you are not thinking of it often, you are likely to forget about it and then not be motivated. So many studies found that when people wrote down their goals, when you write down your goals and you envision where you want to end up and you make dua for it, and as you're making dua for it, you're thinking about it, the more you do that and you plan and you organize, the more likely you are to succeed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success. And of course, we find that when it comes to delayed gratification, having willpower and sabr, this is one type of sabr, to restrain yourself from the wrong things, from the wrong choices, requires first and foremost sincerity to Allah. It requires first and foremost real ikhlas, that you are being sincere to Allah. You don't know when you're going to leave this world, and the only thing you'll take to your grave are your sincere deeds. We had just less than two weeks ago, in fact, it was just a few days ago in Dearborn, Michigan, a young man, 18 years old, who was speeding, and then he ended up dying. And some of the youth in the community were moved by this. Some of his friends were shocked by this. He was just with us. He was at a wedding. He was this and that, and now he's gone. The only thing you'll take to your grave are your sincere deeds, nothing else. Are we being sincere in private? Are we being consistent? Are we holding back? Are we restraining our desires? Are we being patient in times of hardship? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us committed to Him and committed to our ikhlas. Allahumma ameen. When you commit to a process and you commit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think ahead, plan ahead, your future self. Will you regret this decision, this habit? Will you appreciate it? Will you celebrate it? This is why in the Quran, Allah describes the future to us in so much detail. In fact, in more detail than any of the previous nations or previous messengers were given, as far as we know. The details we have about the Day of Judgment and the celebrations and the regrets that some people will have. So the believers will receive their books and they'll go around celebrating. Come read my book. Come look at what I did. I passed my test. I'm entering Jannah. When they enter Jannah, the celebrations, the reunions, the conversations are detailed for us in the Quran. Why? So we can plan ahead. Envision yourself in that situation. Keep your eyes on what really matters. Don't be distracted by your desires. Don't be distracted by what you have in front of you. Do what you need to do to move forward, to take care of your affairs, but plan ahead. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. As well, a de-emphasis on that pleasure that you have. If you think to yourself, you're going to fall short towards a desire and you can't hold yourself back, change your perspective, reframe that thing that you're about to do, that lack of restraint, that laziness, or whatever it may be, the lack of strength, reframe it as something negative, not something positive. Reframe it as something you don't want to do. And in fact, although it may seem like it's going to lead you to pleasure, to sleep a little longer, or skip fajr, or miss your assignment, or miss your job deadline, whatever it may be, think for a moment about the harm of that action and the opposite of it. What would be better than this? What would be better is for me to actually push myself. The body says one thing and my soul wants something else. The body's saying sleep, be lazy, fall into temptation. And your soul and your heart are thinking about Jannah. You're thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And out of love for Allah, you choose to do the right thing. So stop yourself, become more aware, become more conscious as you are doing different things throughout the day and night, and reframe your thoughts in private and in public. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us consistent. Allahumma ameen. Now later on in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues after describing this mulk, this kingdom that's waiting for the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them شَرَابًا طَهُورًا, a drink that is pure. Some scholars say, based on opinions from the Sahaba, that this is a drink they will have when they first enter Jannah that will purify them completely of anything negative and allow them to experience Jannah with no pain, no tribulations, no trials, no negativity, no bad thoughts, no envy, no jealousy, no exhaustion, no stress, no anxiety. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us that eternally. Notice, وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا طَهُورًا. Elsewhere in the surah, Allah describes the drinks that will be passed around. In this ayah, it's not drinks that will be passed around. وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ, their Lord will give them. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing this reward for the believers. And then finally, the crux of what we are getting at, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ هَذَا كَانَ لَكُمْ جَزَاءً وَكَانَ سَعْيُكُمْ مَشْكُورًا. All of this, the rewards of Jannah and more, the things we don't know about, all of this is a reward for what you used to do. And your efforts, your sa'y, your efforts in this world, all your actions, they are appreciated by Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the reward and then on top of that, appreciates. Now the word mashkura, shukr, for us to appreciate and express gratitude as servants of God is for us to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that He gave us and then to live by that gratitude. So use every blessing that you have, your skills, your mind, your heart, your time, your family, your wealth, your job, whatever it may be. Use it for the sake of Allah. That's real gratitude. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we talk about shukr in terms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're talking about His appreciation of the servant's efforts. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who earn that reward. Allahumma ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ تَنْزِيلًا. We have brought down to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Qur'an in stages, in parts, meaning over 23 years, so that this will be gradual, this will establish and make firm the Qur'an in his heart and the hearts of the believers. This will be easier to apply, and so on and so forth. But immediately after this, فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. Be patient. Be patient and wait for the command of your Lord. Be patient with the decree of Allah. فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تُطِعْ مِنْهُمْ آثِمًا أَوْ كَفُورًا. The greatest way for you to gain sabr, the same sabr we are talking about to enter Jannah, is through the Qur'an. Stay connected to the speech of Allah. How many times have we seen people passing away listening to the Qur'an and they died in a good state and we made dua for them and we said, that's so amazing, I hope we can do that. And then somebody says, I don't listen to the Qur'an at all, or I'm listening to music all the time, or I'm not reciting except in Ramadan, or until basically there's a wake-up call, until somebody dies in the community or family, that this person is not even connecting to the speech of Allah. Do you know what you're missing? Do you know what you're chasing and what you're losing it on? You're losing something that is priceless, something that will heal you, protect you, preserve you, bless you, and grant you the pathway to Jannah, to this kingdom that we're talking about. And you're chasing what instead? You're chasing pennies. You're chasing desires. You're chasing the worldly shackles. You're chasing peer pressure and societal pressure for what? When you die, all of that will stay here, all of that will end. And the only thing that you'll take are your sincere deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us sincere and consistent. Allahumma ameen. When we think about sabr here, we're talking about all types of sabr. When people oppress you, when Muslims are oppressed, when you're going through calamity, when you're going through hardship, when you're dealing with illness, when you're dealing with the pandemic, when you're dealing with financial loss, may Allah preserve us and allow us to overcome our hardships and grant us in addition to that the sabr that will lead to the maximum reward of the next life. If you want to hold on to your faith, start with the Quran. And this is why some of the previous scholars used to say, read the Quran in proportion to how much happiness you desire. Read the Quran in proportion to how much happiness you truly desire. And if you want to know where you are with Allah, look at where you are with His speech. And in addition to the Quran, what does Allah say? وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. Remember the name of your Lord, glorify Him, morning and evening. And then in addition to morning and evening, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَاسْجُدْ لَهُ وَسَبِّحُ لَيْلًا طَوِيلًا. Pray to Allah during the night and glorify Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This includes prayer and this includes general dhikr. The one who is constantly remembering God, remembering the afterlife, remembering the blessings that you have, thinking about your palace in Jannah, thinking about what Allah has prepared, the one who is thinking ahead and waiting for long-term pleasure and working hard right now will not have regrets. And the one who focuses on their desires right now, old or young, regardless of where they come from, if they're chasing every desire as it comes about, as their thoughts basically emerge, if they chase every desire, they are likely to be regretful in this life and in the next life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and grant us strength and vision and wisdom. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for all of our sins and make us from amongst those who benefit from what we hear. Seek forgiveness from Allah. He is the oft-forgiving, the ever-merciful. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the pathway and the consistency to earning the highest levels of Jannah. We ask Allah to detach our hearts from this world and all the distractions of this world. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our greatest concern the akhirah, our greatest concern the highest levels of Jannah. Allahumma ameen. What can we say in addition to all of this? Take advantage of the qiyam prayer. Take advantage before Ramadan comes around. If you're not praying Qiyam, at least 2 rak'ahs before you sleep. At least 2 rak'ahs before you sleep. If you're not taking advantage of Qiyam, start now. Because 2 rak'ahs that you pray sincerely and you pray regularly and consistently can be the 2 rak'ahs that determine where you end up in this life and the next. These 2 rak'ahs can change your life. They can make all the difference between happiness and sadness. These 2 rak'ahs, as you pray them and you take your time and you ask Allah in sujood for whatever you want and for guidance and forgiveness and blessings and so on and so forth, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knowing that He will accept, knowing that this is a blessed time, knowing that you're not praying for anyone in this world, you're praying sincerely between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 2 rak'ahs can absolutely change your life. In terms of our pursuit for Jannah, with the sabr, the patience mentioned in this surah, we say number one, as a general reminder, push yourself harder towards Jannah. You can do more. We can all do more and we know that. Push yourself harder towards Jannah and planning for Jannah. If something matters to you, you plan for it. When something really matters to you, you plan and you prepare for it. So for example, when someone really cares about their very first job interview, they plan for it, they prepare for it. What do I need to learn? When they're applying to colleges, what do I need to do? When they're taking exams, what do I need to succeed? When something matters to you, you value it and therefore you prepare for it. You plan for it. If Jannah matters to you, then plan for it. Prepare for it. This requires daily reflection. Where am I today and what do I need to change for tomorrow? What am I doing in my job, in my home, in times of leisure and entertainment for the sake of Allah that I can also intend for His sake? Can I increase my dhikr and dua? Can I increase my review of the Quran as I'm working, as I'm walking, as I'm driving, and so on and so forth? Push yourself harder. Number two, be patient, have sabr. In times of hardship, and especially when it comes to connecting to the Qur'an. Connect regularly to the speech of Allah and you will find yourself having the sabr that you need through these reminders, through that envisioning of the future, through the rewards of the akhirah, that it will be worth it. Wasbir, wasbir, be patient for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. And finally, number three, the next time you're inclined to, tempted to give in to some kind of desire or temptation or bad habit, stop yourself in that moment and acknowledge what you're doing and reflect. Is this something that's really long-term pleasure? Is this something that I'll appreciate later? And how much longer can I keep doing the same thing before I change? Is it not time to change? Is it not time to take action? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us consistent. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for all of our sins. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to continue to work to Jannah through our difficult times and the times of ease. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to hold on to the Qur'an and dhikr and dua and prayer during the night and fasting during the day. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilize all of us to benefit other people around the world. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma ghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Allahumma ghfir li walidina wal والدي والدينا اللهم يا مقلب القلوب والأبصار ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم ارزقنا الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد في الأولين وفي الآخرين وفي الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان في كل مكان في كل مكان يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم ارفع عنا البلاء والوباء برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ارزقنا حسن الخاتمة واجعل خير أيامنا يوم نلقاك اللهم ارزقنا الفردوس الأعلى بغير حساب برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأقم الصلاة.